Incredible World, Chapter 59. Malik Jazz smiled warmly and walked over to Mystica. He knelt on one knee beside her. His demeanor was not worshipful, but the angel did not wish to tower over her and hoped to diminish his powerful, intimidating presence. Jazz had purposely dimmed his awe aura to the extent that it was possible. Then he dropped his other knee and sat leaning back, long legs tucked beneath him. Mystica was sitting up on the sleeping pad, legs splayed in front of her, covered up to her narrow chin by the purple woolen blanket. She was still shaking, but not uncontrollably, and felt physically weak. Calmly and gently, Malik Jazz offered, "My apologies, Princess Mystica Norn, for your discomfort. I promised two people who care for you very deeply their blessing and a physical gift for you." Mystica frowned at the angel, then looked away. One, are you talking about my parents? They're dead. Jazz gently disagreed. No, Mystica, they are not dead. Physically, you are correct. They no longer live here on Carnival World. However, they are very much alive in the heavenly realms. They love you very much, and talk about you, and pray for your well-being each and every day. One lone tear rolled down Mystica's cheek. One, up came her pointer finger. She tried to stare into the angel's eyes. Mystica was overwhelmed by his feelings of brotherly love for her, which emanated from his glowing lavender eyes. That compassionate warmth and the mere power of his presence easily overcame the princess's normally obdurate will. Mystica quickly looked away. She continued, somewhat less angrily, "Where were you the night my parents died?" She paused, briefly, confused, then continued, "Where were you, Malik Jazz, when the dark Atlantisian and Naga assassins attacked me and killed my parents and their Atlantisian friend, Scholar Zazazi? They almost killed me. If it weren't for the Bard and Lady Q, I would be dead too." Bard and Padre turned to each other, mouths wide open, but neither said a word. They had remembered Mystica's heated insistence that she had not seen any Dark Naga or Dark Atlantisian assassins that night. She remembered watching helplessly as a vampire named Scholar Zazazi ripped her parents' throats and drank their blood. It had been a false memory planted by minor snake gods who served the one who shall not be spoken of, Amaruka, master of Garu Gaston. Both Bard and Padre wanted to speak, but neither had the will or the unction. Malik Jazz sighed. "Dearest princess, one," and he lifted a long, strong finger. "It was their time, and even though they knew they would miss you, they wanted to go to their new home, their heavenly home." He paused. "And, princess, as you never say too, but I am sharing a secondary point, both Malik Jed and I were on another mission, just like we are now, to another world called PXE-749559, or Planet Gorstiva. It is another planet, just like this one. The rules are different there, but it looks much the same. Not in the shape and placement of the continents, but in environments. You would like the fact that fermentation is very difficult there, so you can't make alcoholic beverages. On the other hand, some desserts that need yeast to prepare are difficult to make there on Gorstiva unless you have an advanced technology food replicator." Asked Mystica, "Who did you rescue?" Jazz replied, "A team like yours. There are star portals there," and he looked briefly at Bard and back to Mystica, "very primitive ones. They were destroyed during an ancient comet shower. But when there is a solar flare or a planetary magnetic shield shift, the cone circles capture small groups of people and animals from the planet Fruits and Maria are from Earth. Creator and his unique son sent an old Spanish knight fleeing scores of elite human Earth assassins on a continent called Europe. The Lord Most High also sent an Italian scholar defrocked and imprisoned from a different Earth timeline, a place called the Vatican. The Lord Most High trained and gifted them with assistance from both present Maliks to help them rescue people who became stranded on planet Gorstiva. Once we trained them in, though, we rarely saw them again. However, their group Several Native Americans from Earth and a mounted policeman from Earth's Canada found themselves in a serious pickle. Not the same kind of incident as that of this afternoon, but just as calamitous as what happened to your group. Jazz chuckled. They have a padre, too, but he is not a little dwarf cleric. Jazz turned his golden glowing face away from Mystica and grinned at Padre. It would take about 2.5 of you, Padre of the White Dwarf Clan, grandson of the Highly Favored One, to make a Padre Nombre de Dios. That Padre, once a Templar Knight, is 6 feet and 5 inches tall, about 15 pounds heavier than Gordo. He paused and gestured dramatically at the comatose half-orc, and that extra weight all in his belly. Even though his name is not really Padre, that is what most people call him. He was and is the official leader of that group. Zales does not know the alphanumeric sequence that opens the gate to the hidden underground star portal on planet Corstiva, nor has Padre Nombre's team found any of the advanced technology star portals. Mostly they have the ancient primitive cone portals. They do have a few subterranean star portal circles, like the ones you have on this planet, but without the cyclopean walled fortifications. As of yet, the advanced star portals remain undiscovered. So there are no American Special Forces Rangers there, like Rangers Kai and Schmidt. But, and Jazz looked quickly at Bard, then back at Mystica, a newly formed group of cryptid Earth Rangers, cryptid Team 6, and 4 Dolphins, get captured by a portal storm and will soon join Padre Nombre and his team. But it will be impossible for them to contact Earth. Basically, asked Mystica doubtfully, do you even know, Jazz, what my parents look like? Malik Jazz replied gently, you do not have your mother's eyes or your father's eyes. You have your great-grandfather's eyes, new penny eyes, as, very strangely, the angel smiled with only one corner of his mouth, his lavender eyes twinkling. Orlando Bart has used that specific descriptor while entertaining guests at his inn. You have your father's build, Mystica. Faerun, of course, has such probabilities 10, being male. It is only natural that your height will not surpass his. You still have a few years of growing yet, and you will surpass 6 feet in height one day, but not by much. You will, Mystica, gain your secret wish to be taller than Anya Kihada, the lady barbarian who is on the waitstaff of the Adventurer's Inn. You have Latreia's face. And although your grammar and patterns of speech are sometimes embarrassing to your mother, your level of intelligence is not much less than hers. For example, little princess, you hated standard classwork but devoured books from the Royal Library about mythical creatures and loved the illustrated encyclopedias of Carnival World's plants and animals. You recently burned your elf general school diploma, yet you keep your elf Royal Ranger School diploma prominently displayed in whatever weekly room you rent at Bard's Inn. And of course, Princess Mystica, you excelled at the elf Royal Ranger School. You were a prodigy in your teacher's estimation as a probationary woodland warrior. Yes, just like your famous grandfather, King Xander Aviel Dorn, had been, when he had been a young prince your age in the same academy. Mystica fought bravely, but a tear rolled down her face. Hand quivering, she quickly brushed the embarrassing water droplet away. I know, Mystica, chuckled Jazz. You are not crying, you are just angry. Basically, one, snapped Mystica. Yeah, you are correct. She frowned and said, sorry. Following a pause, she asked, didn't you say, Jazz, that you had a message or gift, for me from them? Yes, Princess Mystica, I have a message and a gift. You have a long life ahead of you and many adventures, and your parents will expect one of us Maleks to keep them informed on every one of them. They insist on having their own bard show about you and your friends, Mystica. They are hoping that one day you will make the alliance with Creator and his son. Mystica frowned, but did not interrupt Jazz. And I am going to be straight with you, Most pointedly, Mystica, I am not going to smother you in Christianese and religious jargon. Because of your parents' prayers and the prayers of some of your friends like Potter and Anselm and Padre the Dwarf Cleric, you have a certain amount of protection and divine favor. Indeed, this is true, even though you have not made that alliance with Creator and his unique son. No matter what your decision in the future, Mystica Norn, you will still benefit from some divine protection and assistance in your life. Although it seems, understandably, unfair to you, it is the only key in an unpickable lock that will grant you access to the eternal realm of your parents. Family is extremely important to the Lord Most High and his son. Either way, Faerun and Latreia are still going to love you no matter what you eventually decide. However, they are hoping that one day you will do what is necessary to live with them. Mystica frowned again. What is the gift? I don't see one. Jazz chuckled. Do you remember the day, Mystica, when you were still a toddler, but too big for your crib? Back in the days when they called you Princess Rain in her pants. Your parents had commissioned a small bed crafted by the best high elf artisans and replaced the crib in your room. Your room had been located in a chamber attached to both Faerun and Latreia's rooms. Like many high elf royals, they had what is called a nobility marriage. Even though they were married, except by appointment, each had their own bedroom suite. That same day that they replaced your crib with a new child's bed, they gave you a special purple sippy cup. Mystica's face hardened. Stunned, she snapped. Basically, one, up came the pointer finger. Why would they give me, now, a sippy cup? That makes basically, no sense. Malik Jazz chuckled. Well, princess, it is not the exact sippy cup. Both Faerun and Latreia requested certain modifications to its design. And they wrote a message on the cup and put a heart symbol on it, which seems to be a universal symbol on many worlds that means love. It's more the memories associated with that cup that they treasure. One, what modifications? Asked Mystica, curious, yet still annoyed. First, your father, Faerun, said, I know my stubborn little princess. The first thing she will do is toss it off the edge of the rim of that butte, he added. And then Latreia followed with her own comment that if that didn't work, you would give it away or drop it down the portable outhouse hole. Mystica asked, why wouldn't that work? Basically, I am thinking about that. Jazz, with a dramatic flourish, lifted his hand like a stage magician. The purple sippy cup appeared beside her. Mystica tried lifting it up to throw it. However, Mystica's diminished strength could not throw the item far enough across the temple floor to sail over the edge of the butte, and she knew it. Mystica gently placed the purple sippy cup back onto the gray temple floor. She started to shake again, but not as violently as she had earlier. To everyone's shock, Jazz smiled warmly and offered, "Let me help you with that, little princess." As he leaned forward and picked up the purple sippy cup, Jazz continued, there's a famous baseball player, Little Princess, from Earth, who has the world speed record in Major League Baseball, Aroldis Chapman, Cincinnati Reds. He threw a 105.8 miles per hour fastball in 2010 while playing against the San Diego Padres. If you want more info on that, Mystica, ask Ranger Ty when he feels better. Or Bart can show you the entry in the sports almanac in his library. Anyway, Mystica, he picked up the purple sippy cup and threw it. I can beat that record by so much that it would be embarrassing to tell you the statistical specifics. Mystica was not the only person who stared, not believing their eyes, as the purple sippy cup spun like a comet and sailed into the distant sky so fast it almost caught fire. But not much more than a minute later, with a clink, it appeared beside her on the temple tiles. She wasn't the only one who stared, mouth agape at the reappearing purple sippy cup. Jazz smiled and continued, "This cup is bigger. You are all grown up now. Chocolate that will fill a toddler's tummy just isn't enough for a young adult, Mystica." Faerun asked that it would always return to you. Your mother was afraid you would never clean it, so they required that it would always be clean and sanitized. Now, as far as what is inside of it, said Jazz with a practiced flip of his curly, golden, shoulder-length lion's mane hair. What is in it? Probably hot chocolate. My parents often filled the sippy cup with it, and then read me a bedtime story or sang me a song. Your assumption is correct, little princess. When it is not holding cold air, it is holding hot chocolate. And this is how you operate your new, bigger, unbreakable, never-could-lose-it purple sippy cup. You hold it in both hands, just like you did when you were a little girl. Up to 6 times in a 24-hour period, if you hold it, and it may even appear in your hands. It will fill to the brim with the sweetest, richest, hot, but not too hot, hot chocolate that you have ever tasted. Unless, of course, you say cold, cold, cold. Then it will be cool, creamy chocolate milk. Jazz paused, then asked gently, bending forward from his tucked knees, sitting position. Mystica frowned, but then said, "The divine thieves." There was a horrified grumble from Anselm and a grumpy snort from Padre. Big J did an anxious sign of the cross. Mystica corrected herself. I, for the life of me, will basically never understand Creator and his son. But I have to say, most of his servants, as she looked over at Bard, Padre, and Anselm, they can be really aggravating, but basically, like you, Jazz, they can be super nice to me, and I know they care about me, and basically want good things for me. Mystica sniffed the square opening of the purple sippy cup. Smells good. Really good. She wrinkled her nose like a bunny and sipped it. This is the best hot chocolate I have ever tasted.
Did you read the message on the cup? Asked Jazz. It is on the other side.
Mystica quickly drank another hot, but not too hot, sip. She slowly turned the purple sippy cup and read the golden message. We love you, Mystica.
That phrase was followed by a red heart, icon, and black musical notes.
Then she read the next message fragment. When the morning comes, we will be right here, waiting for you. Jazz sang the song, her parents' song,
but with a new ending. When the morning comes became when your final morning dawns. The second to last line was modified to in the beautiful lands. Jazz sang Mystica's newly modified song.
When the morning comes, we'll be right here waiting for you. Don't you worry, little high elf princess. When you wake up from your sleepy time dreams, we'll be right here waiting for you. Yes, sweet little Mystica, when your final morning dawns, we'll be right here waiting for you. We'll be right here in the beautiful lands, waiting, waiting, waiting for you. Waiting, waiting, waiting for you.
Following this song, both Maliks, Jazaziel, and Jeduqua vanished. They often visited Mystica and her friends in the following days, years, decades, and centuries, but quietly, in angelic invisibility mode.